Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about webinars. And if you guys aren't running webinars, webinars have made, I want to say, the majority of the money ever since I've started doing them.
And can we talk a little bit at first about how you were very hesitant to start doing webinars?
It's funny that you bring that up.
It is
because
funny.
I did have someone who had to really poke and prod me to even get started with them.
I think you had two people. But I mean, let's be fair. We got to give someone else credit too.
Yeah, Grant, man. Grant Baldwin, if you're listening to this or if you ever listen to this, thank you. The first time I did my first webinar, I made $60,000 just like that. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is like funny money. It's crazy how well it converts.
And now you're running one a week, right?
No, I don't run one a week. They're actually mentally draining for me. So I try not to do them more than once a month. But yeah, Grant, he's something.
Let's give people an overview of what we would call a webinar first before we jump into how to have a successful one. Because clearly you've run multiple successful webinars at this point. We're running them for our content course. So how would you define a webinar to somebody who has no idea what we're talking about right now?
A webinar is basically like, okay, so my mom, she watches QVC and the Home Shopping Network all day. Think of it like a QVC for a digital product, where you're teaching something of value first, and at the end, there's just like a small pitch.
Define small.
Well, for me, I usually teach for an hour, and I pitch for like 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's basically people sign up online, they attend online, there's nothing in person, and they watch you or whoever's giving the webinar talk about, teach. I mean, I think that's really important. We'll cover that today, is that you have to teach something. And then at the end, you are going to sell them something. And I think at this point in the world, people expect to be sold to at the end of a webinar. So I think that's something to think about as well. And I think we'll talk about that later too.
Yeah. So by the way, before we move on with this episode, I did want to give Toni credit. She was the other person that she was alluding to. Surprised she didn't just come out and say her name.
Well, you know.
She always lays claim to all the money that I make, actually, somehow, or she's responsible for.
Lies.
All right. So, okay, let's talk about webinars and why they're so powerful first. I actually had a student in my course. He kind of asked me how to launch a webinar, and I just kind of gave him some notes and exactly what I did. And then I sent them a blog post that I wrote about the topic. And he went ahead and he made like $4,000. And he only had 80 people on his list.
Yeah, I love that story because I think a lot of people believe that they have to wait to have a webinar until they have this 200,000 person email list or this huge website or a very popular YouTube channel. But really, if you have anything to sell and you have even a tiny list, you can have a webinar.
You don't even need to have anything to sell.
Really? So what do you think? Yes. I'm curious. Okay, tell me.
Okay, so there's this acquaintance. I can't remember who it is now, because when I was learning about how to give webinars, they gave me this idea.
Okay.
And they said, hey, you can just give a webinar, and as long as you give your best content, you can literally just sell the webinar or sell future episodes of that webinar.
So people pay for the webinar in advance or post?
No. The webinar is free. So for example, you know how we do our challenges, right?
Yep. Where
we present every day. And what we started doing recently was just selling the webinar videos, because we take them down at the end. It's the same principle. You go and you give a really good presentation, and then you make a cutoff where you say, hey, I'm taking these down, and then you sell the recordings. Or what you can do is you can just give a webinar and say, hey, if you really like this presentation, I'm going to give 3 more follow-ups, and this is how much they cost.
Oh, okay. I like that. And I think the other thing that we need to remind people is it really doesn't matter what you have to offer. Anybody can do this. We know people, obviously, we're in the sort of business marketing space, and I think that's probably what everyone thinks of when you think about webinars. But, you know, our friend Kim, she does webinars on homeschooling and sells products, her own physical products from that. Your friend that did the webinar with only 80 people on his list, he sold art lessons for kids, right? Am I remembering
yes,
that correctly?
Yes, he was teaching drawing lessons for kids. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this one's for adults. How to create a picture book, I think, was his first product.
Yeah. And I've seen people do webinars around parenting topics. I've seen people do webinars on organizing or DIY. I really think that there's really not a niche that this doesn't work with.
Yeah, I agree. And if you have a skill or a talent, and we kind of touched upon this in a previous episode, like you shouldn't feel like you need to be an expert to present something or to teach. If you know more than who you're teaching to, then that's usually good enough to launch a webinar.
And typically you do know more than probably a decent amount of people out there on the internet, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk, you said your first webinar, you did 60K,
which— Yes.
I mean, that's really good. Let's set the bar for, like, that's, let's set expectations. That's pretty amazing. And you started doing webinars when you already had a good sized list and a pretty big following. However, you know, we also have your other friend that made $4,000, which is amazing as well, with a very small list. So let's just talk about your stats. So 60,000, where did that come from? Like, how did that, what were the numbers that got you there?
So I sold a course, and this is way back, like when I can't remember when I did my first webinar now, but it was back when my course was about $1,000. So I basically sold 60 courses, okay, essentially.
And how many people did you have sign up for the webinar, and how many people showed up?
You know, I don't actually have the stats in front of me. It looks like you do have the stats in front of you. So why don't you tell us what the stats were? Because I don't remember what they are off the top of my head.
So you had 1,300 people sign up, which is a large amount. And then you said you had 480 live attendees. So, and this was just a one-night webinar, or one-session webinar. It was about 2 hours, if I remember correctly, or an hour and a half. And so
you moderated it for me, I remember.
I did moderate it for you. Yeah. And it's funny because now, since we do like week-long challenges, so we do like multiple webinars in a row, I forget that you started doing the one session webinar, which are also, I think they're effective. So you had, what is that, like one third of the people show up?
Yeah, it's about one third. I would say industry standard now. I mean, webinars have been around for a long time now, and people are kind of getting used to them. So I would say now, like a good attendance rate is actually a third, but more likely you're probably going to get 25%, 20 to 25% attend.
Was your first webinar your most successful?
It was not, actually. I've had more successful ones than that, but that can be a... You know what? Maybe percentage-wise, no, because I've had obviously built up my list over time. So
yeah.
I've had better ones, but I actually don't think I analyzed like the revenue per attendee for those. Yeah.
But I think, and so let's talk about people's fears, because a lot of people that we talk to who we think would have a perfect product or something to sell to a webinar have a lot of fear about running a webinar. And I know the first time I did a webinar with you for the Profitable Audience course, I was super nervous. And I think I like over-prepared, but you did too when you did your first webinar. I remember you were watching webinars for like 2 weeks before you gave your first webinar, trying to figure out what your webinar style was.
I mean, even longer than that, to be honest with you. For me, I was actually terrified. Our personalities are different. Like, I'm not a webinar guy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you are more, your personality is more suited for this, right?
Still nerve-wracking.
So for me, like, I just watched everyone and I noticed that everyone had their own styles. Some people, all they do is just brag about themselves, quite frankly, for the whole webinar. I don't know how that works, but it does.
How does that work in the slides, I want to know? Is it just pictures of them?
It is, actually. Or, you know, it literally is. It's pictures of them in different scenarios and, like, fine dining on a yacht in front of a car or...
I need to get a yacht and a nice car. That's what I need.
And then at the end, they give, like, a teeny bit of information.
We're not recommending that.
I think it works. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. That's just true. Not my style. Yeah. There's other people who just kind of tease the content. I mean, they give a little nugget and then they tease what could be there like the entire time. And then there's other people who just, they're just really inspirational. Like there's no content, but they're just really inspirational. And then people sign up. That's not my style. I'm an engineer. So I just sit and I just
teach.
You
have no inspiration, no style.
This is how it is. Okay. This is what you have to do. But, you know, it's my style and it works. Some people appreciate that. Some people appreciate the inspirational stuff.
Well, that's a really good point. You said that's my style and it works. And I think this is where people get tripped up, is that they watch a bunch of webinars, which I think is really helpful because you want to get an idea for how a webinar should go. But then they try to be inspirational if they're an engineer, or they try to be...
You just ripped on like an entire class of people. You realize that. I mean,
sorry.
Okay.
No, yeah. Engineers aren't inspirational.
Well, they can be, but...
You're not a person, you would say this, you're not a person that's going to get on stage, make a bunch of lofty promises and tell everybody how amazing they are and get people jumping up and down and hugging each other. That's not your personality. Your personality is here. Look, I had a webinar. I made 60 grand. You want to learn how to do it? Facts. I mean, that's your personality. And so that's why it works. If you were up there telling people to rub each other's backs, people would be running and screaming for their lives.
Yes. You're talking about Tony Robbins here.
Yeah, I am. But that's who he is, right? Like that works for him.
Yeah, so that works for him. Yep.
I think if you're thinking about doing a webinar, you have to stay true to who you are I mean, you can model after people that you admire, but I think you have to stay in your lane as far as if you're not a real rah-rah charismatic personality, then show up and do the other things that you're good at.
Right. I mean, I can tell you what I was scared about in case some of you guys are listening to this. I mean, you're attracted to the money and the numbers, but for me, so number one, I was afraid that no one's going to show up. This is before I actually sent out the email. I was a little bit worried about the tech for myself because I didn't want to pay any money for this.
Yes.
Right.
So you had your own little rigged.
Like all system. The webinar software out there, in my opinion, is a little pricey.
It is expensive.
Right. For what it does, I think it's a little pricey. So I was a little worried because I to this day, I don't pay any money for webinars. Right. I use free solutions. I think the most, the biggest fear I had really was feeling like I really didn't belong up there teaching it. And then I was really scared about the pitch part, actually, because I'm not a salesman.
I will say, since I saw your very first webinar and I do them with you now, you've improved a lot in the selling. And I think most people will over time once you keep doing them. I think for most people, selling is not natural. And you have to learn, once again, you have to learn the techniques that work for you. And so I think the more you do it, the better you get. I think the first time anyone does it, they're definitely not at their potential. I think the fraud thing is the biggest one. The fraud and no one showing up. I think you can fix the tech stuff if you want to pay. I'm with you, though. I think stuff's overpriced. The fraud thing, because I remember when we did our first one, I was like, what if there's a question we can't answer? And you're like, we'll say we'll get back to them. We'll put it in an email. But I was like, no, we need to have the answer right this minute. What if we don't know?
What's funny about you is I consider you like more natural for the webinars, but you were so much more nervous than I was.
I was.
In my first one, I feel like you were even more nervous.
In like your even, first webinar?
Yeah, like me giving my first.
Yes,
like,
I was 100% nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're worried about not being able to answer questions? Like, that's always the last of my worries, actually.
Oh, no. I always think, like, because here's the thing, and maybe you've ruined me, I think, is that I think the reason why your webinars work and our webinars work is because we stay on, and I'm jumping ahead, so we'll have to come back to this later, but we stay on for an hour and answer questions. And I honestly believe that's what sells our products, is the fact that we don't hop off at the end. We don't take three canned questions. We answer every single question that comes in. And what we hear from people all the time and feedback, either in the chat or via email follow-up, is you guys stayed for so long. You answered every question. It's clear you know what you're talking about. That's what people say. Like, you guys are the real deal. You're not just have some canned presentation and a bunch of canned questions. And so to me, there's so much pressure in that, because I feel like that is our main selling point, is one, we're available to answer your questions. And two, we know the answers, or we'll get them for you. And so that's why that feels like a lot of pressure to me, because I feel like that's such a selling point for what we do.
Yeah, and we'll revisit that. I think that last part is important. Incidentally, there's different types of webinars. There's those really sketchy ones, like the automated webinars, where in case you guys ever encountered these, I actually really detest these and I probably will never ever do them. But this is where you enter your email and it's all pretend, right? There's a new webinar. Oh my God, the webinar is about to start in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
how
15
fortuitous.
Minutes. Yeah. And if you miss this one, there's one at 4 and 6 and 8:30. Right. Yeah.
And then as you're watching the webinar, there's these fake comments that come in.
Yes.
That make it seem like people are asking questions live, and then there's no Q&A. Or if there is Q&A, it's you have to enter, you know, your question and it gets emailed to them. Anyway, the whole thing is just really sketchy. And that just, in my opinion, kind of negates the credibility.
Yeah. I think for me, those kind of webinars, if you're trying to sell me like a $29 product, then that's fine. Because I probably just had a couple questions where I wanted to see the product demo or something like that. But when we're talking about like high ticket courses or, you know, anything over probably $200, I don't think, to me, those are not the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I have friends that run them and they convert a much smaller percentage, but they kind of work. So if you can make the numbers work in terms of your ads, it might be worthwhile. Just for me, from a principal perspective though, like having fake comments come, like I would never do that stuff. I think that's just deceptive.
Thing.
Yes, that's not our thing.
Yeah, but there's software and tools that will do that for you.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
I don't recommend.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's walk through the process.
Okay. Yeah, let's walk through the process.
You want to do a webinar. Step one.
Hopefully you have a list, right? And obviously the first step is to just broadcast out to your list. They already know who you are and chances are they want to attend. I think if there's just one little tip when it comes to getting people signed up for a webinar from your own list, is to make sure that your email provider has a click to sign up feature. And what this means is if someone's already on your list, you don't want them to have to enter their email on another form to sign up for your webinar, right? Ideally, they see your email, they just click a button and they're instantly signed up and they get the welcome series. Most good email providers have this feature, like ConvertKit and Drip. So both Tony and I are on Drip, but we recommend ConvertKit for this as well. The more seamless you can make the sign-up process, the better.
Yeah, and that's something that annoys me as a user is when I'm already on someone's list and they want me to enter my email address again to get something from them. It drives me absolutely nuts because I know that they have the capability to do the click to tag because I know who their email providers are, right?
Yep.
So to me, it's just a little extra step, but I think it's totally worth it. You're going to get more signups.
And this works across other platforms as well. So, for example, I just recently started doing this with Facebook Messenger as well, where all they have to do is just tap their email or whatever, and they're instantly in. Like, I just tag them, and then I can just send them Facebook Messenger broadcasts about the webinar. So
you have your webinar. You know what you're going to teach. You obviously have to do, and we'll probably cover this on another podcast, but basically you'll have to put together your presentation and things, you know, your slides, however much information you're going to cover during the webinar. So then you send that email out to your list. Now, what about, I know you run Facebook ads and Messenger ads too. Now, do you run that to your list as well as a cold audience, or how are you doing that?
So we can just talk about low-hanging fruit. Like, if you want like the highest conversion rate, what I like to do is I'll target like website visitors. I'll target people who are fans of my webpage, and I'll even target people who have read specific posts by just kind of pixeling them on Facebook. The other thing that you can do is with your email list, there's always people who just haven't opened an email in a long time. So instead of just outright deleting those people, I like to put those people on a custom audience and run Facebook ads to them. Because maybe they might not check emails, but maybe they'll see something in their Facebook feed and they already know who you are, which will make them much more likely to sign up.
And something else that you do that, you know, I've always questioned is that you use a photo of yourself in your ads.
I know. Actually, you know what? It's funny.
I was waiting for you to make a face at me, but you didn't.
I've tried many different creatives with photo, without photo. The one with the photo always works, even though I'm talking about e-commerce, and right now, like, Chinese people don't have like the best reputation in the United States. But I mean, I guess the numbers speak for themselves. With face always performs better than without face.
Okay. So, and what do you like your cost per sign up to be for any of those?
It just varies all over the place. I mean, if it's to cold customers, it can be as high as like $5 or $6. To warm customers, it's usually under $2 per sub. Yeah.
Then, so let's just talk webinar stats. We covered this a little bit early on when we talked about your first webinar, but you said the average attendance rate is around 25%?
25 to 30, I would say. Okay. Yeah.
And then how many of those convert?
You know, it kind of, I feel like you're reading down a sheet here. I would say, and this is just talking to different people who run webinars, it's anywhere between 6 and 15%, I would say.
Now, you and I both know that if people show up live, they're way more likely to purchase.
Yes.
Either not at the end of the webinar, but like within the post-purchase sequence, which we'll talk about in a minute. What do you do to get people to come? I mean, I know what we do to get people to come live, but what are you talking to people about and making them understand that live is better?
I mean, there's a whole bunch of different ways that people do it. Like, I've had friends who literally give away Amazon gift cards just so people attend during the presentation.
Just like throwing them out like Oprah?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay.
They basically say at some random point, we're going to give away, you know, a gift card. And so you have to be present to win. I've never done that.
No, I was going to say we've never done that.
Yeah, well, I don't believe in like bribing people to stay. It's not that actually. If it works, I would do it. And maybe it does, but you're like bribing people to do it. I'd rather I use bribery as well, but I would rather not bribe with money. I would rather bribe with something else.
Threats.
Like more information or a contest, right? Or, you know, something that you give away that has something to do with what you're selling. Like an Amazon gift card has nothing to do with anything, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think that we do well and you do well in your webinars that I think is a bribe is that we tell people very clearly from the beginning, we will stay till the end and answer every question.
Yes.
And especially when you have me on, I seem to be a curse for you. Like, we're on there 2.5 hours. Sometimes
we have been. My average webinar is usually around an hour and a half, but for some reason with you, it's like 2+ hours always.
Yeah.
So
I don't know why that is. I have no idea. Someone knows how to talk. I don't know. But so I think that's a good bribery though, for people to know that we're going to get to your question. And we do this a lot. Like when we get to the Q&A, if because sometimes the questions come in pretty fast and furious, and we don't have, when you and I do it, we don't have a moderator. Like we're this moderator for each other, basically. And so you miss stuff. So we're always asking people to repeat the question if we didn't get to it. And we truly do stay on until the last question is answered. I mean, and I think that's an incentive for people to come live, because then for sure they get their questions answered.
You know, one thing I've actually started doing recently is not waiting till the very end. Like I'll just kind of answer them along the way, because people tend to drop off in the middle also. And, you know, if you here's something that I've tried to start doing. Like whenever someone asks a question in the live chat, you say their name.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Yep.
Oh, you were going to. Okay. And you address them directly, and that makes them much more engaged, and they'll stay till the end. Because remember, the pitch is at the end, right? You want people to stay all the way to the end, no matter how you can. So if it means answering questions along the way versus answering at the very end, you know, whatever it takes.
And I would say, too, if you have a moderator helping you, and I think having a moderator is helpful if you're doing it for, especially when you're doing it the first couple times, because it is hard to sort of manage you presenting plus watching the chat, and it can get overwhelming, especially if you have more than like 25 people on, you know, I mean, it can be pretty daunting. But one thing that we try to do is that if we are moderating, like if I'm answering questions and you're reading them to me, you'll always say, hey, you know, Nina from St. Louis has a question. You always throw their name in there as the moderator. And I think if you have someone helping you, that's important to tell them to do as well, because then they're addressing them. And then you can always say, okay, Nina, great question, or you know, something like that.
Yeah. And especially if you're like farsighted, like we both are, you're looking at this live chat and all the lines are close together and the print might be a little small, like you'll lose track of some of these questions, and you want to make sure you get to all of them.
Yeah. So. And it's hard too, because sometimes in the chat, people will start conversing with themselves, with each other.
Yes.
And then you lose, like, okay, did that question get answered by somebody else, or are they still asking? What is this topic even about? Like there's been times when we've been doing this where there's a whole sub chat going on that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So then you have to skip over all that to get to the questions.
So there's one thing we kind of skipped over when we were talking about Facebook ads that I just kind of wanted to talk about real quick. Just some math. Maybe is that why you glossed over this?
I did skip the math.
I saw
the numbers and I was like, I can't talk about this.
So I think when it comes to just running Facebook ads, the numbers are always in your favor, like the higher ticket your item is, obviously, right? Because it's 100% margins whenever you sell something. And I just want to throw some just numbers into the mix just so you can get an idea of how much you should be paying per lead, because I think that's important, right?
Yep. So because I think some people just spend and they don't think about this.
Right. So we'll just use round numbers. Let's say your class costs $1,000. We mentioned that it was 25% show up live. So Tony, how many people is that? Good. 250. Right.
Okay. That's it. Don't ask me anymore.
Now on the low end, we were saying what, 5 to 16%. So let's just say only 5% make a purchase, right? Ouch. Okay. I have the numbers right in front of me. So I'm, okay. So if you do the math, 1,000 times 0.25 times 0.05 is $12.50. Just to break even.
So you shouldn't pay more than $12.50 if your cost is $1,000.
Correct.
Using our numbers.
Okay. And then, so if you can extrapolate down now, right? So if your product's only $100, that means, you know, you probably shouldn't pay more.
$1.25?
$1.20. Well, your conversion rate is probably going to be higher in a lower ticket product too. Okay. So you can massage the numbers, but you're not going to know what your actual numbers are until you actually give your first one. And it's going to be a refinement process as well. But for me, you know, $12.50, it's probably the break-even point. Actually, my course costs a lot more now. So the break-even point is even higher, really. Yes. Right.
Now, I can't remember this. For your first webinar, did you run Facebook ads?
I did, but just to my own audience.
Okay.
I didn't run to cold people at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, now you've run your ads, you've sent your email out, people have clicked to sign up, they've clicked over from the ad. We start, I know you and I, well, whatever, what we do together, we start emailing people 4 days before the webinar. Is that right?
We've been doing challenges lately. It's different.
You have to back it out. It's always confusing to me because you're like, if we're doing the webinar this day, we need to send an email on Saturday. And then I'm always confused.
Oh, yeah. In order to prepare for the webinar. Yeah. Because you want to, it depends if you're going to cold people or warm people. Like for us, we always go to kind of warm people. Like they already know who we are. Right. So we don't actually have to give them like an intro sequence per se, right? We just give them the facts. This is when the webinar is and whatnot. If you're advertising to cold people though, you have a much better chance of getting them to show up if you put them down kind of like a sequence. So maybe like a video that just kind of explains your story, what you're all about, maybe your credentials, why they should listen to you and that sort of thing. So that when they get to the live event, they're kind of excited to learn from you, right?
Now, question for you, because I know for what we do, we only target warm people, but for you, you're doing warm and cold. Do you have two different sequences, one that goes to cold traffic and one that goes to people that already know you?
Yeah, whenever I do a challenge now, it's the same sequence actually, whether they know me or not. There's just a video that introduces everything, all the rules of the challenge, and then there I kind of talk a little bit about it. So if they already know me, they're probably not going to watch it, or maybe they'll watch it anyway, but it's mainly for the new people who have no idea who I am.
Okay, so first email, I'm assuming when people click to sign up, they get an email telling them about the webinar.
Right.
And then when's the next time you email those people?
If you're doing it 4 days out before the webinar, like you should be advertising a webinar at least probably a week before, right?
So you're emailing them every day up until the webinar?
It depends. It really depends on what type of webinar I'm giving. I would suggest that you don't try to get signups for your webinar more than 2 weeks out. I even think 2 weeks is a little long, like just a week leading up to it. It's probably like a good spot. So basically you have like five to seven days to just get people to come or sign up. So if you are doing this a week out, then yes, you want to email like once per day leading up to it. And then on that final day, like I always send out one in the morning that says, hey, the webinar is in like 6 to 8 hours. Then I send out another email an hour before, and then one that says, you know, 5 minutes, hop on in right now. One thing that I like to do also is 15 minutes before showtime, I tell them I'm in the live chat just hanging out, and then I try to get to know people. So let's go over maybe a hypothetical email sequence that you might want to use. So email number one, just basically tell them the exact date and time for the webinar. And then obviously you should have links to add the event to someone's calendar. You might want to grab like a cell phone number in case you want to text them. And of course you want to provide a link to the actual webinar.
One thing I think is good for people to do too, if you're thinking about running one of these, is sign up for a couple webinars so that you can see other people's sequence and see how they're emailing people. I think that's really helpful. I know when we started doing our challenges, I think I looked at a couple sequences that were more, because we were doing something a little bit different with the challenge because it was multiple days. And so I wanted to see how other people were getting people hyped up, because the challenge is a little bit different. And then it's a couple day, a series of webinars right in a row.
Yeah.
And I think you did that too when you were starting your webinars. You signed up for a bunch of them too to see how people were emailing.
Yeah, I actually am watching webinars all the time just to see how people are doing things.
Yeah. Okay, so that's first email. Second email?
Second email, and this is kind of important. I always try to get them to reply with questions so I can gather them ahead of time and make sure I address them. But, you know, just provide an outline of what's covered, any doubts that they might have. And these are important because you want to preemptively address them, actually, when it comes to the sales pitch part.
Address the doubts
and all the questions. I mean, at this point, I've done so many of them, I already know what they are, so I just make sure I cover them at the end. But
right.
When you're doing it the first time, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say if this is your first time, how did you, when you did your first webinar, did you know what doubts people would have just because you were getting emails about your course previously?
I knew because I'd been running the blog for a long time, and I get the same questions all the time.
Yeah. So you just basically put those in an email.
I didn't put those in an email. I asked for them, but then I just make sure I address them when I'm presenting live.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, you're asking people. Never mind.
I'm asking to reply to increase the deliverability.
Yes.
Right.
Gotcha.
And to just
thought you were saying you answered the doubts in the email, but you're saying you asked them for that in the email.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay. Email number three.
Video maybe introduces yourself, testimonials, have attendees know that you're legit. So for my stuff, like with the store, people often ask, you know, do you actually run a business or are you just teaching it, right? And so I talk about the store, how much it makes, what I sell, and that sort of thing. Just an introduction.
Okay, and then what's the next email that goes out?
And then the final one is to, you know, I think this might be the day of or the day before, I talk about the reasons to attend live. Okay. So I do giveaways, I give consults away. Sometimes I'll give like free Shopify, or I'll give free virtual passes to Seller Summit, the conference that both Tony and I run. Bonus content, talk about the Amazon gift cards if you're choosing to go that route, right?
Yeah, I agree with you though. I understand why people do the Amazon gift cards, but I like how we do it in that we're giving away things that are totally related to what we're selling. So consults, when you do yours with your other course, you have like Jungle Scout maybe for 2 months or something like that.
Yeah, here's the thing. What's funny about this is you might give away these consults and someone might win, but they're not going to sign up for your course. But then after the consult, they'll totally sign up for your course. So
we've had that happen a couple times. Yeah.
I think the consult is probably like the best way to go.
Yeah.
Personally.
It does take your time, but.
It does. But when you're on the phone with someone or on a Zoom call, your conversion rate is super high. It's kind of like e-commerce. If I can get someone on the phone for these hankies, I'm a major hanky salesman.
They're like, my conversion rate's through the roof.
I want to say it's like 80-90%, seriously.
You're going to win Salesman of the Year.
If I can get someone on the show.
This year.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we already talked about on the day of the webinar, we're emailing people multiple times that day, early in the morning, and then an hour before, 5 minutes before, yeah, right when the webinar starts. And if you sign up for anyone's webinar, everyone's doing this exact same thing. So this is pretty common.
Yeah, and in terms of the guts of the webinar, we kind of already talked about that already. You just got to find your own style. For all the engineers out there, I guess, just...
You're not going to be charismatic. Give them the... Give up.
Ouch. Just give them the facts and
stick with your boring slides.
Because then you'll attract the people that are like you. So,
well, I think. But here's the thing: you don't want to attract people that don't like your personality, because then they'll want a refund if they buy your course.
Yeah, no, that's true. Just don't be someone that you're not, basically.
Yeah, so. And then we run a couple contests. I know you run contests to get more people to sign up. And then another thing we do is we run contests similar to that. We said that we did the consult to give away. Sometimes we ask for people to follow our YouTube channel or our Instagram channel. And we're just doing those things to help grow our businesses and grow our audience in general.
Yeah, and it also ends up gathering more signups for the actual webinar, right? So if people are sharing the webinar out, and then, yeah, I mean, this is a really easy way to grow your other channels, right? So in return for maybe subscribing to a YouTube channel or subscribing to a podcast, you give out additional entries for some of these valuable prizes that they want. And all the prizes should be related to what you're giving out also.
So we talked a little bit about the presentation. You know, the main thing we've been talking about is make sure you're doing it in your own style, that you're delivering value. There's a couple things that I think are important. And one of the things that you do, I think, really well is that you use a lot of slides in your presentation. Way more slides than you would tell someone who is maybe giving a presentation at a conference, right? We always are telling people to narrow down their slides when they present at Seller Summit. But here we sometimes have over 100 slides.
Yeah. And, you know, there's different schools of thought on this. But when you're given a webinar like on Zoom and it's not live, if you're looking at the same slide the entire time, you're probably going to zone out. So if you keep, it's kind of like the principle of getting someone to watch a video all the way through. If you keep things moving, that keeps someone's attention. And so that's why it's also important, I think, to have your face in the video somewhere. It could be like in the little corner of the video, but just as long as there's some sort of movement, that'll keep people's attention better.
Well, and another thing that we do, because I think people are getting kind of cynical too about webinars, and so they don't believe it's live. So I think having your face in the video is just another like proof that you're live. And then what we do is we put up our phones right to the camera.
I know, I hate doing that, by the way. Like, to all those people who are doing the non-live ones, they're just killing me.
But people love it. Like, it's definitely, I think, for people that are on the webinar, they find it entertaining at least. And it's just another thing to say, like, hey, we're here live. I think having your face in it. And then I think with the slides too, I think you've got to limit your text on the slides. I know that's something you and I go back and forth with a little bit, but I agree with you.
It just takes more time.
And, but the, yeah. I mean, and I would say, like, not, I know not everybody's a graphic designer, but you can go in Canva or PicMonkey or Photoshop or whatever, and you can make interesting slides that are going to keep people's attention. Because I do think, like, if you're doing a Zoom, people get zoned out, or they're on their phones, or they're doing three other things while they're listening to you. But if your slides are interesting, they're going to watch you.
I mean, this is your first time doing it, and you're a little bit nervous about giving the presentation. Use more words in your slides. It doesn't matter, right? Whatever causes you to actually do it and not be anxious during the presentation. Maybe that's why you're so anxious, because you're just giving out pictures.
I have no words on my slides.
Right, and you have to remember what the heck the slide was all about.
You're
right?
Like, these are two people. I remember we did one and I had two people jumping out of an airplane. And you were like, what is this slide? I was like, I'll remember it when I get to it. I'm not sure right now. So I think that's the presentation, I think, is primarily you have to do what works for you. And then I think we've already talked about like the answering the questions, staying on till the end. I think that's so important. It's the closing of the deal.
Here's something that you told me a long time ago. I don't even remember if you remember saying this to me.
I don't know.
And that's to stack the deck, right? So you did this for me at the end. Like, you were feeding me questions that first webinar, and you always want to close with answering the questions that are going to close the deal.
Yeah.
So you have someone just feeding you questions, and if there's like a lull in the questions, you always want to have some questions backed up. So you always are talking, and you want to make sure that the webinar is really lively and people are actually really engaged in it, even if it's a little bit artificial.
Yeah. So it's a trick where you say something like, I'm going to take two more questions. And even if you don't have two more questions, then you say something like, this was sent in via email, or You can manufacture a question that you know, and it's a legitimate question. It's a question that you know people are going to ask, but you never want to end. I think this is such a deflating thing, either in a webinar or when you're presenting in front of live people. Is any other questions? Anyone out there? Do I see any hands? Anybody? Okay, nothing.
Crickets.
I mean, that's just like, yeah. I mean, that's just the most. It's like such a letdown at the end of a really powerful presentation. Is someone looking out into the crowd or virtually? Like just nothing, right? I mean, yeah. You got to have a couple of questions in your back pocket.
All right, let's talk about the sales pitch. That's like the most nerve-wracking part for me. Yep. First time I did a webinar, my voice got all timid like this during the sales presentation part, where I was really confident during the teaching part. But then when it came time to selling, I was like, well, I had this course and, you know, it's pretty good, I guess. If you guys want to kind of sort of sign up for it, you might learn something. But ironically, you have to be more confident.
Yes.
During that part. You got to project more. You got to save some energy for that last final stretch.
Yeah.
And in terms of actually making sales, the more deadlines that you can impose, the better. So for example, if you want sales to make yourself feel better at the end of the webinar, you just say, hey, the next five people get a free 30-minute one-on-one consult, or the next five people who sign up get some sort of freebie. Right, to get people to just kind of take action. And then, you know, in terms of the actual sale itself of your course, you always want to set a firm deadline for the close of cart. I like to do it 2 days later, just to give them some time to think about it, maybe watch the replay and that sort of thing. But I've seen like a week-long closing sequence where, you know, you'll have email also go out every day, like convincing people to buy.
It seems really long.
I've seen it done just because the more people that you can get to watch your replay, the higher conversion rate also. Sure. It's a trade-off, I think. Every presentation is going to be different. So you just have to test it.
So, and then once, so you give the pitch at the end, I think one of the things that you do really well in the pitch is that you give a tour of the course. So you actually go into the modules and show people what they're getting if they purchase. And I think that's, especially on a higher ticket item, I think if you're selling something that's $27 or $47, people are just impulse buying that. They don't really care. I mean, they probably feel like they got enough from the webinar to justify $47.
Right.
But if you have something that's, you know, we're talking 500 plus, then I think the tour of whatever you're selling is pretty valuable, because people are going to be way more hesitant to purchase at that ticket price or that price point versus, you know, an under $100 product.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, after your webinar is over, you have to keep in touch with them up until your cart closes. Right. And so the way I do it, and the way we do it, I should say, for both courses, is to provide value in every email. So Tony always puts together these really awesome PDF notes that kind of summarize the whole week's worth of presentations, actually. And people really want that. We actually tease it as we're talking, like, yeah, this is going to come in your email. So make sure you check your email. I like to send out another email that answers everyone's questions more thoroughly. Like sometimes when you're live, you can't give every last detail. Otherwise, you know, you'd be answering one question maybe for a half an hour. So I'll have blog posts written up that kind of answer a lot of these questions in more depth. And then I tease that also as I'm talking, and people are expecting that as well.
Well, and the thing I think to remember too with both of those is that you're teasing it, but you haven't given them to them yet. So you're forcing them to open the email to get it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And ultimately this whole process actually is to get people to open their emails. Remember that pre-sequence where you ask them to reply and ask questions, that makes the deliverability of those emails much better as well. So it all just kind of comes into play.
So after the webinar ends, you've given them the sales pitch. How many people buy like right then?
I don't know. It just depends, but I don't know. Double digits, I should say. Okay.
So then so then you got your first people, the people that are like, and there's always people that are like, I want to be in the first five because they want the consult or whatever it is that we're giving away. But then I think we're emailing them at least once a day for two more days. So people are purchasing throughout that whole time, I think, until the cart closes.
People are going to purchase when your deadlines are. So if you give a deadline during your presentation for like when it ends, you're going to make some sales at that first presentation. If you don't give any deadlines, all your sales are probably going to come, or the majority, I should say, will come during your deadline, which is most cases when the cart closes, right? That's when you're going to be making most of your sales, that last day.
And I think it's important, too, to remember that, you know, sometimes people need a little more encouragement to purchase, right? So the more information you can give them in that post-webinar funnel, the better off, the more confident they're going to be to purchase the course or to purchase the membership or whatever it is you're selling, because they just want to continue to be reassured that it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a different sequence, but you can also include like testimonials, you can have case studies, other people who have taken your course or product or whatever and rave about it. All those things contribute to higher conversion rates.
So I think it's important to remember that just as important as the webinar is all the emails that you send before the webinar and all the emails you send afterwards. I think those are about the same. I mean, obviously you can't do it without the webinar, but all those emails that you send, and I think overall we send about 12. I mean, there's a lot of
emails. A lot of emails that go out.
But don't skip those. Don't make those like an afterthought. Those are pretty important as far as converting people to purchase.
It's important only if you want to make money.
Well, yeah. You know. So
I was going to say an extra bonus, you can just run Facebook retargeting ads too, because your email open rate is going to be, you're not going to reach everyone. So right. The stragglers you can get through Facebook as well. Just running a very simple retargeting ad.
Yeah, I think the other thing that is important to remember is that, and you've seen this, is sometimes people will attend 4 or 5 webinars before they purchase. They're going to the exact same webinar.
Yes.
Because I know you have a couple of different webinars that you run, but you'll say that people attend the same webinar for 5 months in a row, and then they purchase on the 5th month. And maybe they needed to save up the money, or maybe they just weren't ready or whatever. But I think you have to remember that too, that some people are going to attend for a period of time before they actually pull the trigger.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it takes time to, especially if it's a high ticket item, it takes time for people to get on your bus.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we didn't really talk anything about like webinar technology because you and I use a sort of a patchworked together model.
Ouch.
But I guess I know. I mean, I guess we could probably put some of it in the show notes, but there's lots of software out there that will do everything for you. Yep. And you don't need to worry about it. It's just pricey. I think they start around $200, right?
Yeah, I want to say it's $200 a month, which means that you have to commit to doing these webinars all the time in order to make it worth it, right?
Right. But we can talk a little bit about what we use as far as like microphone, camera, things like that. I mean, you could do it on your phone, I guess, right? I mean, you don't really even need anything.
You could. I think people are more forgiving when it's live also. So you could probably get away with it.
But we just use a webcam and a podcaster mic to do ours.
Yeah, basically for ours. And then in terms of software, I mean, you can just follow my model. We use YouTube Live. You can use Facebook Live if you want. You can even use Zoom, although that they charge Zoom costs money, I guess.
I think there's a limit of how many people you can have, or I guess that would be if they were in the webinar with you, if they were broadcasting with you.
Yeah, I think any number of people can watch. And then for the live chat, I'm using like an open source package, or you can use, I think Chatwing might still be around. That's free.
But if you did a webinar in a Facebook group, like a live, I mean, there's the chat right there.
Oh yeah, you could do that. YouTube has a chat too, actually.
Yeah. The only problem with Facebook, the Facebook model would be that on a live, you probably wouldn't catch the full chat, right? Because stuff disappears.
Yeah.
And then Facebook reorders the comments because they want to show the most popular, however Facebook's doing it at that moment. So I think Facebook, the comments part of it is probably going to be tricky if you decide to use Facebook Live. But if you're just getting started and you want to just try it and you don't want to deal with any technology, run a Facebook Live. I mean,
yeah. I mean, YouTube chat works pretty well as well. And you get all the nice stats too. Of people watching. Yeah. Do you get that in Facebook? Actually, I don't think I've ever looked.
You get how many people viewed it live and then how many people watch it later.
Okay.
But it's probably not as robust.
With YouTube, you can see when people fall off and like there's a nice graph and everything too.
You probably can on Facebook. I don't ever run webinars on Facebook, but I think Facebook or YouTube is probably a great starter setup.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line, you don't need that much money. I mean, you could literally just use your phone. You could spend $0 and put together a webinar today. Yeah.
Okay. So let's wrap it up. What is your like biggest, I don't know, what's not your biggest, like, do you wish you would have started doing them sooner? Do you wish you could do more do you wish you could do more webinars? Are you glad that you're doing them? Like, where are you today on webinars versus where you were 4 years ago?
I mean, I wish I started doing them earlier simply because thanks to people doing those auto webinars have gotten more of a bad name recently, right? And this is like with any marketing medium. I think the more people do it, the more people become desensitized to it. But it still works great. I cannot physically give more than one a month just for my sanity. But that's my personality. Whereas I feel like you could give them like every day and be fine.
I could. Now, I will say this. I mean, the managing of the emails before and after would be the part. Because I know like when we give them, we get tons of questions via Facebook Messenger. We get tons of questions via email. And that can take up, especially like on cart closing day, that can take up a decent amount of time. Because people have tons of questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the important part. If you can get people on some sort of chat, whether it be SMS or Messenger or whatever, that's like almost an instant conversion. So
I think that's important to remember too, that you need to be able to, because that's how you're going to close the sales at the end.
Yeah. You want to have conversation with people.
For sure. So you know, one a month. But I think even if you think about this, your friend that had the list of 80 people, if he did one a month and made $4,000, that's $4,000 a month, every month for.
I mean, this person now makes seven figures doing webinars.
Yeah, but yeah. So I'm just saying, if you have, even if you have a small list and you have, you know, you could make a nice little chunk of side income just from doing a webinar every month.
Yeah, and just remember, you don't even really need to have a product. I know Tony would never launch something without. Like to get her to launch our course together without it, the course being 100%, like probably killed you inside.
It did. I'm a little dead.
Yeah. I mean, I loved every moment of it because you were so nervous. But you don't have to have everything ready to go. You can play it by ear. And if the content that you're presenting is good enough, people actually want to buy that or they'll want to see more of it.
Absolutely. So I would say if you even have an idea of something to sell, you should try doing it.
And if no one shows up in the beginning, that's another piece of content that you can just include on your site. You know, it's never wasted. The effort's never wasted.
And the money you make from selling that will pay for your therapy.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.